Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Voters in New Hampshire won't have to show any ID to cast their ballots today, since Democratic Governor John Lynch this summer vetoed a Republican-backed bill requiring some form of voter identification. But Republican legislatures across the country have been pushing through voter ID laws. 30 states now enforce them. Supporters of the IDs say they prevent voter fraud, but opponents say, what fraud? You know, show us all these cases of fraud. And they claim it's a GOP tactic to prevent young, poor, minority voters, maybe elderly voters, from casting ballots because those particular voters tend to support Democrats. So is it a tactic? Is it just a, you know, the way life is now? You have to show an ID before you do a lot of things. Doug Chapin is director of the Program for Excellence in Election Administration at the University of Minnesota. He joins us from Minnesota Public Radio. Doug, welcome.
Thank you.
And so, as we said, voters here in New Hampshire don't have to show voter ID cards, but in states where you do show IDs, is there a middle ground? You know, is there, you know, are there states where, you know, where they say, well, you don't have to show, you know, a license plate or a state given card, but you have to do something to prove that you live here?
Yeah, there, the states really do vary in what kind of ID they require, if any. Those of us who work in the field joke that the one thing that every state has in common is that they do things differently. But you do see everything from the strict photo ID that has been debated around the country to places where any piece of ID, with or without a photo, is required, and some places where no ID other than signing your name in the poll book or identifying yourself to a poll worker is required. So there really is a wide range of what is required and what's acceptable across the country.
But at the very bottom level, I know in my voting precinct, you have to at least say, I'm such and such, and I live at this place, so they check you off, so that a person can't later come in and say, I'm such and such, I live at this place. I mean, that's sort of the bottom. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Right. That you have to basically identify yourself to the poll workers, both to check your name off the list and so that anyone who's looking to see who has voted that day can check you off on their list as well.
Yeah. Eight states have passed that strict photo ID law. Again, what does that mean?
Strict photo ID means that you have to have a photo ID, usually a specified photo ID issued by a certain agency, usually with an expiration date, and that without that ID, you cannot cast a ballot unless you go back and get an ID and present it within a certain number of days after Election Day. So really no ID, no vote, as opposed to places where it's requested or alternate IDs are acceptable.
Okay, well, so let's get to the criticism first, that requiring voter IDs, the strict or otherwise, you know, hampers voting. Tennessee, for instance, passed one of those strict new photo ID laws. And there are anecdotes, elderly people being unable to get one. A 93-year-old woman who cleaned the state capitol for 30 years, but she never had a birth certificate because she was born at home. You know, she's very elderly. And so she reportedly didn't have the documents to get the photo ID. What do you say about those anecdotes?
Well, you do. You hear those arguments across the country. I mean, ID really is at that cutting edge, that bleeding edge between the parties on fraud versus disenfranchisement. And there are cases, Tennessee and elsewhere, you know, the now famous nuns in Indiana who didn't have photo ID. There are people out there who are registered to vote and who lack the required ID. And I think as more states consider these ID bills, you will hear more of those anecdotes, both in the legislature and then after a bill is enacted, in the media in the run-up to Election Day.
But what does it represent? In other words, to some people, prohibiting an American from voting because they can't get a voter ID is, you know, just one is enough. But what do you say? Is this a potential big problem?
You know, we don't know. One of the things that's been so interesting about the ID debate around the country is how little evidence there is really on either side of the ledger. I know you hear a lot about the lack of evidence of fraud, despite claims to the contrary. But really, we haven't had much evidence of disenfranchisement either. Despite anecdotes, what my colleagues in the field call anecdata, we really don't have any hard data about disenfranchisement. I think it's fair to say that we know there are people out there who are registered to vote and lack the required ID. We don't know how many of them there are. And in fact, in cases in places like Georgia and Indiana, plaintiffs were unable to produce a single individual who lacked the required ID. So we know they're out there. We just don't know in what numbers and if those numbers are sufficient that the level of disenfranchisement people complain about will actually come to pass.
Okay, but what about the fraud? You mentioned in passing, you know, there's a few cases of that as well. But, you know, this is what some backers of voter IDs, particularly Republicans, say. They're preventing fraud, keeping undocumented immigrants from voting or people from impersonating someone else. Has there even been one case that's well documented or even prosecuted of someone of voting fraud?
Well, the funny thing is that fraud really does cover all manner of sins, and that you hear a lot about numbers of cases of voter fraud. The kind of fraud that ID would prevent is voter impersonation fraud, where I go to a polling place, pretend to be you, and vote in your place. We really don't have any evidence of that. We do have evidence of people registering twice or either deliberately or accidentally voting an absentee ballot and then going to a polling place. In states where felons are disenfranchised, you have felons either, again, deliberately or accidentally casting ballots despite having their rights removed. But in terms of person A impersonating person B at the polls, there really is no documented evidence at this point around the country.
Well, then that would to people who are against voter IDs, that would seem to make the case for not having them. Attorney General Eric Holder struck down South Carolina's new voter ID requirement. He said it did violate the 1965 Voters' Right Act. That move, coupled with, you know, this idea of no documented cases in just the few seconds we have, is that going to set precedent? Is that going to mean that, you know, it's going to be easier to strike down some of these requirements?
This fight has been going on for more than a decade, and I don't expect it to subside anytime soon.
Well, okay. And just very briefly, early voting. Seven states have reduced the time frame for early voting. Democrats are saying that will also disenfranchise voters. Your thoughts?
Well, states are trying to get polling hours in line with the money they've got available to hold polling stations open. That will mean shorter times in some states. My guess is that voters and candidates will find a way to get their ballots in whenever those polls are open.
Doug Chapin, Director of the Program for Excellence in Election Administration at the University of Minnesota, on new voter ID laws. As we said, 30 states have them. To see a map of where these laws are in effect, go to hereandnow.org. Doug, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Here in New Hampshire, they did not need voter IDs, just an attitude and a sense of all the candidates, which people have here. It is amazing the time they put into considering their candidates. We'll have more from New Hampshire on today's First in the Nation primaries in just a minute here now.